B-Pod Studios.
They work.
Arr, matey.
Well, you're at work. Scott Zolak.
I think it's a disaster.
Mark Bertrand.
I know. I want to get it out.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Josie's on a vacation far away. Come around and talk it over. So many things that I want to say.
Noontime on Friday. Phil Perry brought to you by Plymouth Rock Assurance. As proud sponsor of the New England Patriots, Plymouth Rock Assurance thanks Tom Leahy, the insurance goat.
Oh, the goat!
Learn more at PlymouthRock.com/thanks Tom.
Thanks, Tom.
Phil Perry, NBC Sports Boston. What's up, Phil?
What's going on, boys? How we doing?
Doing all right. We started the day talking about the Patriots' pursuit of Le'Veon Bell this week. Why do you think the Pats were after him?
Because they like to run the ball. I think it's pretty simple. I don't think you have to overthink it. The guy's a good player still, in my opinion. I think there's plenty of evidence to suggest that he still has juice. He's 28 years old, one of the best backs of the last 5 years. And when he's been paired with good offensive lines, he's been amazing. Patriots have a good offensive line here. And I know they're deep at running back, but really, guys, when you look at it, they're one Damian Harris injury away this weekend towards not having a real first or second down running back.
Oh, I thought you were one Damian Harris injury away from going back to Sony Michel.
I mean, he's still on IR. And the guy, you know, looked like he was hurt the last time we saw him. Had one of the best games of his career, but did he look good? Did anyone come away from that game saying Sony Michel looked dynamic?
No, so was that to
I think the depth issue is not quite as shored up as people maybe think it is here.
So this was a further demotion of Sony Michel if they were to acquire Le'Veon Bell.
I think you're going to be running the ball so much this year, right? You have to protect against injuries. You don't want to be where you were in 2018, where Cordarrelle Patterson was your running back, or James White had to be your between the tackles running back at times, and then he got hurt.
That's true.
Or even 2015, that you don't want to be in the Steven Jackson era again. This team has to be built around what you can do running the football. Of course, Cam's going to have to throw it, and for them to be a decent offense, he's going to have to make accurate throws on third down. That's the case with every quarterback across the league. But we're going to look at this team at the end of the year, and they're going to have probably more carries than just about every team in the NFL. Adding another body, another capable body, a guy who, oh, by the way, can pass protect and catch the football too, that can't hurt, especially at the cost that he's probably going to end up going to the Chiefs for. I mean, that contract, amazing deal on his part. Congratulations to Le'Veon Bell. But the contracts they're handing out, the Jets, are just incredible in terms of the stupidity that's been associated with those. But he's going to make $6 million one way or the other. Wouldn't have cost you anything practically. So I would say, why not? I think the interesting thing, though, is that he goes to a place.
He's actually going
to
get paid by both. You're right.
Yeah, he's got offset language in that contract.
Yeah.
But now that he goes to Kansas City, guys, and tell me if I'm thinking about it too much, because I've been accused of that at times. This move does not make as much sense, nearly as much sense, for the Chiefs as it would have for the Patriots. And the reason is because the offenses are so different. To me, if you're a Chiefs opponent and they make any kind of move, whether it's drafting a running back in the first round, which they did, or it's signing a big-name running back who's going to expect to have a role, which they just did, if you're a Chiefs opponent, you are dying for the Chiefs to figure out ways to take the ball out of Patrick Mahomes' hands. And now they're doing it for you.
Right.
I understand Le'Veon Bell is a pretty good player, but if that means more carries, if that means more rushing attempts for Clyde Edwards-Helaire and Le'Veon Bell now that he's there, that's a win for Chiefs opponents because it means fewer attempts down the field by Patrick Mahomes, which is what they're good at.
That's interesting. As good as the Chiefs are on offense and as dynamic as they are, you think about it, like the Chargers had him on the ropes with a rookie quarterback that got thrown into the fire with no practice. You know, the Patriots should have beaten them if they had their quarterback. The Chiefs lost to the Raiders. Maybe the Chiefs are more beatable this year than people think they are. Now, I know they crank it up at the end of the year and they give at the end of the games and they get credit for that. But having Bell, doesn't that slide Edwards-Helaire into that third down role? Which now, all of a sudden, to your point, may complicate things with Andy. Now, we got a plethora of backs. Now, we need to find ways to get into their hands. Maybe it's
right.
More
you
got
to figure out ways to use these guys you've invested in, and yeah. and those are not the guys that make your offense your offense. The guys that make your offense your receivers. Offense are Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce, Sammy Watkins, and Patrick Mahomes throwing the ball down the field more often than any other quarterback because it's the most Mecole efficient Hardman. Way to move it. He's the most talented arm. I don't know, arguably in the last 20 years of the NFL, since John Elway maybe, in terms yeah. of you're just talking sheer arm talent,
yeah.
and you want to take it out of that guy's hands so that he can put it in the belly of a running back who's going to get 4.5 yards per carry. That just, to me, is not a great – listen, I don't think
it's – Or they protecting Mahomes too. I mean
– Maybe. I don't think this is going to sink their chances of repeating for the Super Bowl. I still think they're a very good team. They're going to go a long way. But if I'm the Patriots and I'm looking at this and I'm saying, well, it would have been nice for him to join us. But if he's going to go to Kansas City and all of a sudden, Clyde Edwards-Helaire is already getting 20 touches a game, guys. He's got 98 touches through 5 games.
Jesus.
If they're somehow adding more to that running back touch equation by signing Le'Veon Bell, that is a good thing for the Chiefs because it means fewer targets for Travis Kelce. It means fewer targets for Tyreek Hill. They're not just going to add to the overall pie of plays. It just means a bigger sliver is going to go to running back now that Le'Veon Bell's there. That's what it looks like, at least.
When you say good for the Chiefs, is that good for the Chiefs or good for their opponents?
No, did I say good for the Chiefs?
Yeah.
I honestly no, don't think opponents. This is a good – I don't no, think this is a good move for the Chiefs.
I wouldn't be investing
in the running back position if I have the best quarterback in the NFL.
Everything you just said, and then you just said good for the Chiefs, and I said –
No, that was a mistake.
You meant good, opponents. The opponents
good for
of
their
the
opponents.
Chiefs. Their opponents every week now are going to say, great, you want to take those as you just put it. You want to take some of those passes away that are going Kelce's way or going to Hill? I can understand what you're talking about. So that will be something to keep an eye on going forward. I do find it interesting, though, that the Patriots, what is at least a perceived position of depth for this team, where they do have bodies, and I understand Sony Michel is currently hurt. They found a reason to be interested, and they were interested, and that's, I think, genuine interest on their part. I think also, Phil, it speaks to their attitude toward the season, which is they want to upgrade their roster if they have opportunities to do it. They want to keep their eye out for what's going on maybe in the trade market or veteran free agents that could be available to them. They find this team to be one that is currently worth investing in. I thought we maybe learned that definitively this week.
Now, isn't this a fascinating conversation with the trade deadline 2 weeks away?
Yes.
I mean, how do you look at this team this season? How do you look at it? I think a lot of us before the season started, even after they added Cam Newton, because it was such a low-cost move, there was so much unknown about how it was going to work out, how good the division was going to be, how good the conference was going to be. A lot of people projecting this team to be hovering around 500. And that still may be the case. But to me, through 5 weeks at least, it just looks like because there is no great team in the AFC, all of these teams are flawed. We just talked about the Chiefs. They're a flawed team. The Ravens are flawed. The Patriots are flawed, sure. But their two losses, you know, we could laugh about the moral victory thing. But to me, losing to the Seahawks on the last play of the game and losing to the Chiefs in the fashion that they did, where their defense looked as good as it did, those two games to me are more impressive than, say, a 3-point win over the Dolphins, which is what the Bills posted in week two, or a week one win over the Jets, which is what the Bills had there. Like, it's okay to be 2-2 right now if you're the Patriots, because I think everybody feels better about how good this team really is. And so are you looking at this, if you're the Patriots, if you're Bill Belichick, and saying, we got to go for it. We got a shot here. It's a weird season. We got a quarterback who's working. The defense looks good despite the fact that we lost so many pieces going into the year. Why don't we, I don't know if you'd call it going for the jugular because they're not necessarily a favorite right now, but why wouldn't you go quote unquote all in? Why would you not trade a second round pick, trade a first round pick,
yeah.
and go get a receiver?
Okay, so that's got to happen.
I would if I
that's got to happen with your team trending in the right direction. And I say that with, okay, you got an inferior opponent coming in the Broncos. Nobody's given the Broncos a chance in this game. And the way Cam played against the Raiders wasn't great, but we all remember that Seattle game. We wanted to play like he didn't say against Seattle. How big of a game is this for Cam coming off the 2 week layoff? You see what I'm saying?
It's like, big in that he does have to be better than he was against the Raiders.
Show us,
that
was show us you can make the right decisions. If we're going to put that type of collateral out there and go get you help, you got to play well.
That's a good point, there's
no threat behind him is what I'm saying. I'm talking about for us to make changes to our roster to go and get you help, you have to show that you need the help and you could use it.
Show us your championship caliber quarterback.
Yeah.
Show us.
Because that's
you've had two good games. You've played in three. You've had two good ones. That was a C minus against the Raiders, is what we had it for our report card.
Wow. Le'Veon Bell is in the mix. Sorry, Phil. Do you have something else you want to add there?
No, I was just going to say, I think it's a great point. Like, I didn't think 20 minutes ago there was much to be gleaned from this game. So I would look at this and say, you're not going to learn much about this team next week. You might not even, or this weekend, you might not even learn much about them next weekend. But it's between now and then that the trade deadline is coming. And so if you feel like you're good and you're good enough, I think it's fun. And I think we should start talking about the Patriots giving up real collateral to bring in a real piece to try to win this year.
Yeah, you know what? Let's pick this up on the other side, because I think there is one way in which they can glean something from these games. We'll talk about that with Phil. Your calls as well. Many other Patriots items to get to this hour. We'll do it all. Don't go anywhere.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Matey.
Well, you're at work. Scott Zolak.
I think it's a disaster.
Mark Bertrand.
I know. I want to get it out.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Josie's on a vacation far away.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Something.
You gotta wear your lucky jersey, don't wash the lucky socks,
rub your ball 16 times. You
know. Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Now, back to Zolak and Bertrand on Boston's Home for Sports.
Phil Perry of NBC Sports Boston is with us here on Zolak and Bertrand. Phil, if the Patriots go out the next couple of weeks and they look really good and they crush the opponent, that can help them identify the strengths or the how good the team can be over the rest of the season. Right? I mean, I understand what you're saying about the opponent not being ideal. You learn a lot more playing Seattle and Kansas City than you do playing Denver. But if you go out and you take care of business and you do it easily against a team like Denver, and you go out and you really beat up on them, I think you could still sort of take away, okay, you know, good teams do that to bad teams. You could sort of identify that the Patriots are the good team that we thought they were. So
there's no doubt. More information is always good.
Yeah, like point differential might be a thing here. If the Patriots win by four touchdowns, I think there's
style
something.
Style points.
Style points matter. For this purpose, not for where you're going to be at the end of the season.
Schedule's not easy the rest of the way.
But for
looking
what you,
at it again.
But for what you think of the team and where they're at.
Yeah.
Style points in terms of the scoreboard and the difference on the board.
Didn't you tell me the exact opposite of that a couple of weeks ago when they were playing the Raiders? Didn't you say the exact
thought the Raiders stunk.
Yeah. And I said if they just barely squeak out a win, I don't want to come back on Monday and hear you say, well, It's about the win. That's all that matters. Because
no, this was last week when we thought they were playing with
Denver
with maybe not Cam Newton again and maybe not Stephon Gilmore. I thought that was last week.
The last couple of weeks,
this
you
is
told me
now they have these
totally
guys back.
Different.
You told me style points don't matter at all.
Yeah, in some situations they don't. Like when you're injured and you don't have your starting quarterback.
That doesn't matter because Jim wanted Hoyer to start just to get the win.
Yeah, get through game.
Yeah,
to get through
I don't think it was last week with Hoyer.
It was. When we were talking about potentially playing Denver, Jim's like, get through. And I'm like, no, get Stidham. Let's roll. Let's go. If Cam wasn't going to play because he had COVID.
When you are stressed and you were without your starting
quarterback. Could have done it with the Raiders too, Hardy. I can't remember.
And typically style points are not all that meaningful. Style points don't tell you anything at the end of the season. But for this instance, the next 2 weeks in a small window,
You got a window. You get your style points in there next couple of weeks. Get the trade deadline.
Yeah, but the tape on tell they're playing the tape. I don't lie. You know. And I say that like it's a big one for Cam. There's no threat of Stidham or Hoyer behind him, right? Okay, Cam's the guy. I say that with what are we going to do to get him help? And I think this is a big one. Like, okay, you go out there and he runs the ball well. You run the ball well, but in the passing game, Jesus, we can't separate still. We've got to go out and get some help. Whether it's Phil, it could be a tight end. But who the hell's got a tight end they could give you at this point?
It could be. That's the thing. And I've looked into this a little bit. It's just really hard to find a good match at tight end compared to finding a decent match at receiver. There's just, you look at the teams that could be sellers and you look at what they have and you look at what they have at that position in particular. To me, there's not much out there. Unless you can somehow swing a deal with the Jets, which they actually have done over the course of the last couple of years. So there is a working relationship there. And you want somebody like a Chris Herndon? I mean, is that getting anybody fired up?
Well, can Chris Herndon get on the field? Because the Patriots rookies don't seem to be contributing much.
They don't. And that's sort of the conclusion I came to and wrote my mailbag last night and this morning. And I'm not sure it's posted yet, but it should be soon. But the conclusion that I come to when it comes to acquiring someone at that position is just play Devin Asiasi. At least for the next couple of weeks. Just see what you have.
Doesn't this feel like a game where you could throw the ball to Asiasi?
This is a game where they should throw the ball to Asiasi. So he was on track. It looked like he was having an expanded role to some extent. He played almost 30 snaps against the Raiders. Then he comes back. He plays 8 against the Chiefs. This week, if there was ever going to be a week, would be the week to play him a little bit more and throw him the football. The Broncos against two tight end sets this year are atrocious. They're allowing over 9 yards per attempt through the air.
Nice, two tight ends.
61% success rate. They're one of the worst teams in the league against multiple tight end sets. Now, that means you might have to have Ryan Izzo on the field, too.
Zero percent.
It just tells you that it's a small enough sample that the two tight end thing, it might be a thing for them for sure, but it might just be anytime there are just two receivers on the field, so meaning either two backs or two tight ends, meaning there's probably an extra linebacker on the field for the Broncos. That's when they start to have problems.
So would that mean
get Asiasi on the field, get him out there and throw it. Just see what you have. He's a legitimate physical talent. Can he play? We still don't know.
You had a bit of a prediction there at the start of the year that Devin Asiasi would have more receiving yards than Rob Gronkowski in his rookie year in 2010. That total number of receiving yards was 546.
Yeah, it's going well for me so far, right?
Not so much. Not so much.
Listen,
so,
until that is mathematically not possible, I'm gonna stick by it.
You don't have to.
My bold predictions.
What week will you decide that it's no longer mathematically possible?
546. I'd say if we get to the midpoint of the season and he's still without a target, they haven't even thrown it to him. Not one target.
They haven't even tried.
If we're mid-season and he has zero targets, I would say that was a miss by me.
Yeah,
but you are conveniently.
I like how he doesn't think it's a miss now. Like he's still holding out hope.
Guys, we're only 4 weeks into the season for them. Come on.
All right.
We're a quarter way through.
You keep hanging on to that.
Listen. I'm noticing that you were conveniently leaving out all the predictions that I have right through 4 weeks, including one that you all thought I was crazy for.
Is this the Cam Newton Brady one?
Yes, it is.
Go for it. Tell everybody.
Well, Cam Newton's completion percentage is better than Tom Brady's. Told you that before the season. That's how it was going to go.
Yep.
68% for Cam Newton. That's what he was in Carolina back in 2018 when he was in the MVP conversation for the first half of that year. You put Cam Newton with a decent offensive coordinator in a decent scheme, he's going to be able to figure out how to put it where it's supposed to go.
Imagine
Tom Brady, I think, is the more accurate quarterback, but that scheme is more throw it down the field. Take chances, deeper drops. You're going to get a few more hits that way, too, if you're not careful.
Imagine
but that's
if
not
going
to lend itself to great completion percentage.
Yeah, imagine if you had people to throw to.
Imagine
that. Might be worth considering.
In fairness, Gronk only had 6 catches through the first 4 games of the year.
Oh, there you go.
That was part of the prediction.
How many yards,
it takes
though?
A while.
How many
how's
yards?
That, how's that Pittsburgh game?
How many yards?
62.
Games? 62.
I think it was the Cleveland. Was it Cleveland that he really went off as
Pittsburgh.
A rookie?
Cleveland had 4 catches, and then Pittsburgh the following week had 5 catches for 3 touchdowns.
There you go. Brent's in Shrewsbury. Brent.
Thank you, Jim.
Hey, I'm here.
Go ahead.
Oh, hey. Guys. Hi, Brent.
This is kind of for Zoe, but obviously anyone can jump in. I'm all ears.
Thank you.
So,
Appreciate that.
This is a while ago. Skarnecchia's comments about he thinks we can beat anyone. Getting a little like nitty gritty football. Given Skarnecchia obviously is a big offensive line guy, you know, all about the blocking schemes and working with the big guys. I know from you know, obviously I want to ask Zoe because he's seen the real game, not just you know lower levels, but playing you know I played line for 9 years, right? So I've seen a lot of, lot of the trenches.
Whoa! And, you have?
Yeah, 9 years on the line.
Yeah, a little snot blower here. Where'd you play at?
So I was at Shrewsbury High School.
Nice.
You know, not the best competition, mass football, but
you put them on the same way.
I did a quick semester at Bryant, tried a D2 at Assumption, and then I was done after a year, freshman year of college. So, So my thought was there was a year when I was a senior in high school, we switched from like a man-to-man I form to more of like a read option, zone left, zone right. And I remember as a lineman, when your quarterback is making that read, right, on the end, like, it'll screw him up. Obviously, guys in the NFL know what to do, but when you're blocking, some plays you go to hit that end, some plays he's on an island and the quarterback reads him, it makes it a numbers advantage for the big guy.
And he's in no man's land, just sitting there. He's just sitting there in no man's land, like, don't know what to do.
Yeah, it takes a blocker where you can get a numbers advantage with everyone else, or you even when you're throwing the ball, QB spy. So I think with the running game, Skarnecchia's got to look at that and think, that's one guy that's got to watch Cam.
Have you ever?
We can crush these guys.
Like, say we're running that RPO to the right. Have you ever been the guard on the left and they pull it down the line and you kind of ear hole that guy sitting there and he don't see it coming?
I was always tackle. I was always left tackle, some right tackle.
So did you guys have a lot of fan calls? Like, when you're out there, did they go Rip and Liz?
Yeah, we use Rip and Liz.
Okay. Little Roger, little Louie?
Don't remember Roger and Louie. I remember Rip and Liz, though. I think that was a call more the receivers listened to, though. They had it pretty simple.
Not really.
Big guys, yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, good O-line talk here. We should do this every Friday. O-line talk with Brett.
Like that.
Is he still there?
No.
I want to know about the screen game. Like, what's the three count? Is he three count it, four count it, they do two count? You do that slip screen, it's got to be bang, bang. It's 1.5 counts. One Mississippi, one. Boom, go. Right? 9 years. Nine.
Six.
I don't know how you do nine because you get three in high school.
Was that only three in college?
You get four, in high school. He did 1 year at Assumption or something?
Brian and Assumption.
And Assumption, so that's like six.
That's like 2 years.
That's like five and a half, six.
The math there. The math.
Yeah, a couple hits of the head. That's all right. I love football.
Pop Warner,
more football
right?
players call in. We need more football players calling in.
Let's go to Patrick in Salem. Hi, Patrick.
Hey, guys. First time, long time. Nice to speak with
you. Nice.
What's up, Patrick?
All right. So my question is more for Phil. It was about his take on Le'Veon Bell taking away from the vertical game from the Chiefs, right? So over the course of his career, Le'Veon Bell has been a very, you know, talented pass-catching back, obviously, before his contract season with the Steelers. He had 85 catches. 66 last year with the Jets with all their problems at quarterback. So it makes me just feel like it's just going to open up opportunities for other people to get open. I think it's definitely going to help out the vertical game rather than not. What's your thought process on that?
So what do you think? More X's and Zos right now.
I mean, I get the idea in theory, but are they going to send extra bodies because it's Le'Veon Bell? Are they going to double team Le'Veon Bell out of the backfield and take a defender away from the deep part of the field with Tyreek Hill? Or Sammy, like, I don't see that happening. The thing about when you look at that position, and this is why I've been accused of besmirching the good name of running backs across the NFL, is because it's an eminently replaceable position, both in the running game and in the passing game in a lot of respects. The passing game, when you're including running backs, is so short for the most part, and so dink and dunk, it almost doesn't matter who's back there. He's very good. He's good in the open field. That's why he was as productive as he was in Pittsburgh when he had good offensive lines. He waited. He was patient. We know the running style, but it was really when he got to the second and third levels where he separated himself from other running backs. He's fine as a receiver. You're better off if you're the Chiefs peppering Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce with targets than throwing any footballs to Le'Veon Bell. You just are. And defenses are not going to be encouraged to send more people and devote more resources to defending a swing pass to Le'Veon Bell out of the backfield because he's Le'Veon Bell. They're going to be concerned with the deep ball because that's what is most dangerous. That's what's most effective. And my point is, if you're the Chiefs and you're encouraged to less often do the thing that is more effective, that's bad for you. That's good for the defense. So if I was them, I would not necessarily, unless they think Clyde Edwards-Helaire is just a disgrace in pass protection, which he might be. It's hard for rookies at that position. This move doesn't make a ton of sense to me.
Let's talk more with Phil Perry. I know that you handed out your superlatives, Phil. Superlatives on the Patriots.
I get more predictions that I got that I'm looking pretty good on.
Oh, you want to do that?
If we you guys can dip back into those.
We can dip into those.
I just feel like you guys really cherry-picked
that.
The quarter poll crushed on right now.
It's not the quarter poll. Let's get to.
I know it's
it is
the
quarter poll. That's right. There's four games in. We're at the quarter poll.
Half the reason you call it the quarter poll is so you can get everybody mad at you for calling it the quarter poll.
What's wrong with the quarter
poll? Not the quarter
poll. Oh, you're not a quarter poll guy.
It's
that's
the
right.
Quarter poll, I
it's
guess,
not
right
the
now,
quarter
right?
poll.
Why is it
is
a quarter
there such a
poll?
Thing
because
as
when
a
you're a quarter
poll?
In, that is not the quarter poll. Well, I'm not going to do it again.
This isn't a horse race, though. It's a football season. Quarter poll.
Yeah.
Now, see, he's doing it just to make me mad now. This is what he's doing.
Yeah, so was I.
Yeah. More with Phil Perry is on the way. We could dip back into some of those predictions of yours and more of your calls as well. You're on Zolak and Bertrand.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Sports Hub. The former QB, always laser focused.
It's like going to bed at night, bringing a rattlesnake in your room. I'm sleep on a hot spot on a hot rock.
And the guy who is always by his side.
The Lakers, UFOs, mayonnaise, all in the mix here.
Zolak and Bertrand.
If that makes any sense.
No.
98.5, the Sports Hub. This is breaking sports news.
Powered by Valvoline Instant Oil Change.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
According to Mike Reese, he is reporting with Field Yates. The Patriots are canceling their Friday practice after a positive COVID-19 test. According to a source, with talking to Field Yates and Mike Reese, there is also a second test they are waiting to confirm is a positive. Once again, Patriots have canceled their practice today. They've had a positive COVID-19 test, and there is a second test they are awaiting to confirm is also a positive.
Okay, so that is the story. And by the way, shout out to Ryan Spagnoli, who covers the Patriots for Pat's Pulpit. I can't tell you that I was familiar with him or his work before today, but I am now.
I heard tweeting about this earlier.
He tweeted over an hour ago at 11:08. He said, don't shoot the messenger, but hearing more positive COVID-19 cases coming for the Patriots. We had seen the tweet, but we don't know Ryan and don't really know. So we're like, yeah, we'll...
Keep an eye on it.
I told Zoe, I said, Zoe, start texting some people over there because this is out there and maybe there's some truth in it. And it turns out Ryan Spagnoli at Ryan_Spags on Twitter. Give that guy a follow. He's obviously got a good source there somewhere. So this has been sort of floating around on Twitter for a couple of hours. The Patriots have at least one positive test right now. Practice today canceled. What do you think it means for this weekend's game?
So real quick here. So based on the way they shut down Indianapolis, because you thought you had a couple tests to test positive, what was that termed by Field Yates and Reese that they're waiting on the second test to be confirmed?
Yes.
Is that a confirmation on the positive? Or is that a second player?
No, a second player. And by the way, Tom Pelissero just tweeted as well that it is, in fact, a player who did test positive for COVID-19, not a coach, but a player. A second positive test is still going through the process to confirm it on a second player.
Puts the game in jeopardy.
The team has been doing meetings virtually today. Practice and media availability now canceled. And here we are again. The Patriots are in limbo to start the weekend.
Take a picture of corporate Jim Louth to get ready for that Monday 5 p.m. game again. You get your schedule ready, Jim?
I don't know if I'd be planning on a Monday 5 p.m.
I mean, it's kind of late. Tuesday, potentially?
I don't know that I'd be planning on a Tuesday 5 p.m.
Well, that's your options. Change back to Sunday?
That's your options.
No, there are more options than that. if the Patriots continue to have positive tests and all they get is another day or two in between, then at some point the league is going to say, if they decide that this is just continuing on and on and on, they're not going to let them play. They're going to move right. the game.
Well, that's what I'm saying, moving it to maybe potentially Tuesday, but you're getting to a point
now. I'm talking end of the season. Patriots, you need to lock this up and lock it down.
I agree with that. I agree with that because it's getting to the point now where you start shuffling more games. You already ruined the Chargers schedule. I mean, they had to change five or six games. Look what Buffalo's had to go through. You know, look at the Chiefs shuffling games around. Tennessee, we've been through this, and that's off one. Now you start. Patriots aren't going to be the only one. Someone else is going to pop up with this. You know? You're seeing rises in different cities. It's going to get in the building. Go ahead, Phil.
I know you're reaching out to your contacts and sources. What do you think this means for this weekend, and what do you think it means going forward?
Well, just reading the tweet from Mike initially, it does sound like that there is one that has been confirmed, which takes some time typically. So I'm wondering if they knew about this yesterday and they have since then just gone through that process of confirming it, because Mike,
I'm going to say no, Phil.
Second test that they're waiting for positive confirmation.
I'm going to say no.
You're going to say no what?
No. I'm going to say no, that they didn't know about this yesterday.
Okay.
Just based on some knowledge
that I have.
It's
just interesting that they,
based on some knowledge and people I've talked to this morning, I think it was all systems go early today.
So it's interesting that one's already been confirmed and one hasn't, I guess, is the point I'm trying to make.
Without getting into detail, I don't think they heard about this. No.
Okay. I believe you. I have no reason not to believe you.
No, I mean,
just an interesting way for it to be listed, that they would know about one and not the other. And I don't know why that would be. I'm just pointing that out. I'm just reading the tweet.
It could be as simple as, hey, the one test went into the system an hour later than another. You know, it could be something as clerical and as simple as that. And they want to get
the testing gets staggered.
Right. I mean, think about it. You go to the doctor the same day as Zoe, Phil, and you guys both get blood work done. You might get yours an hour before Zoe does. You know what I mean? Like, whoever processed it at what time, who knows? What's the matter, Zoe?
No. Why would Phil get his before me? That'd be upset.
Well, I know, it just anyway, sounds good. Really, I know that sound.
I'm like, what do you got? Alex Barth on Twitter. Yeah. Of 98.5thesportsapp.com, where you download our app. He says, with Mike Reese and Field Yates reporting that the Patriots have another player with a positive COVID test, it's worth noting that Dietrich Wise was the only player not present at practice yesterday. It's possible, based on positions, that he was in close contact with Byron Cowart, who was on the COVID list. A theory from Alex Barth.
And he was listed as not injury related.
Right.
And my understanding is, if he was for some reason feeling any sort of illness, you would list him as that. I mean, we see guys listed as missing practice or whatever with illness all the time on these injury reports. So usually when you see not injury related, I mean, oftentimes with this team, at least over the course of the last few years, very veteran team, a lot of guys having babies, that's usually what that means, but it can mean obviously a variety of things. So I don't know. Nobody has told me one way or the other if Dietrich Wise is involved in this.
Okay. There's also an Evan Lazar tweet from an hour ago that says Patriots defensive lineman Dietrich Wise was held out of practice on Thursday for precautionary reasons and is doing fine, sources say. The expectation is Wise will be available to play on Sunday. So maybe not. Maybe he's not the player. Could be something completely unrelated. But it would feel like if they've got a result back right now, Phil, it was someone who came into the building yesterday early, took the test, was positive on the initial, instant type of test, and then waited the day to get retested and confirmed if they already have one confirmed.
Well, this is interesting from Tom Kern, Phil's guy here. He says, given the limited amount of time the Patriots have been together at the facility, lifting on Wednesday and Thursday at practice, he says, I'm not an English major here. He goes, this is possibly a leftover from last week and not something new here, meaning a new outbreak. Will be interesting to see how the league proceeds. I've just been told it's not Dietrich Wise.
Okay, so that solves that matter. We've got more with Phil Perry, but the breaking news, if you're just joining us, the Patriots have at least one new COVID positive player, that is. They're waiting for confirmation on a second player who tested positive, and that could be coming today as well. So they have at least one new positive case today. The team has canceled practice. They have canceled their media availability, and the status of this weekend's game with the Broncos now in doubt. One more segment with Phil Perry next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Got an itch for sports talk while you work?
So just dropped his phone down his shirt.
You want to know why? He was using it to scratch his back.
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
If you thought the Broncos were upset last week, wait until they find out this news today. They're not going to be pleased.
See, the problem is Melvin Gordon can't bitch now because he had a DUI this week. So, yeah, he was bitching last week. Yeah, be kidding me. He's going to hide this week.
The news again, according to Field Yates, according to Mike Reese, the Patriots and Tom Pelissero now as well, the Patriots have at least one player who is tested positive for COVID-19. And again, multiple reports say it is a player that tested. The Patriots are waiting on a second test to confirm a second individual. And the Patriots have canceled their practice and have canceled their media availability today. All of their meetings are now being held virtually.
Yeah, and Schefter's had extremely difficult, given the what the NFL has been presented with, the toughest scheduling challenge yet to date. Both teams already lost their bye, so that's already been eliminated. There's no shuffling, no wiggle room there.
The Patriots, according to Evan Lazar, E-Z Lazar, that is, on Twitter, Evan Lazar writes, the Patriots knew of the positive test last night, sources say. They could have practiced today under the NFL protocols with players wearing masks and face shields, but Belichick decided to cancel the practice out of caution. And we've heard this week that Bill Belichick has been very vocal in the conversations with other coaches and league executives about protecting teams and about taking certain steps. He is very well researched on COVID-19. He believes in the protocols, and he has decided today that the team would not go out there with masks and face shields. He thought it would be better to not get together. So that, according to Evan Lazar, the team knew about it. They would have been allowed to practice today, but that's not going to happen. So this brings us back to that other conversation about Sunday, in that, Phil, the league doesn't have sort of hard and fast rules about when a positive test happens and then rescheduling games.
So hold on a second here. So you knew about this yesterday, but they were still going to be allowed to practice today? Then why would they even think about moving the game potentially?
Can you wear masks and face shields in a game?
No.
That's why.
Yeah. But if this is to what Curran said off of last week's issue that they had, because they really haven't been together, Phil. They've been in the building, what, once? One day?
They had workouts earlier this week. They had a practice yesterday. Yeah. That was really the first time they'd practiced. They obviously practiced last Saturday, really what was a walkthrough, and everything was outdoors. Even the meetings they were having were outdoors. So they haven't been together much. We are still technically kind of in the incubation period, from what I understand. I know for the most part, once you get to that five-day mark, you feel much better about your chances of not showing up positive. Mm-hmm. But if they knew about this yesterday, and this was a test that was taken yesterday morning, you're barely, you're just over a week since your potential last exposure. If you think about the Patriots flew back late Monday night, early Tuesday.
Gilmore
was when Stephon Gilmore was traveling with the team. So early Tuesday to early yesterday morning, Thursday morning.
It's only 9 days.
You're just over a week, basically.
Yeah.
So,
and they're saying what, the 2 to 14 day potential incubation period.
That's what the CDC says. Is that's why they have everybody quarantined for 14 days, is because they feel really good about it after that. I think even 10 days. Once you get to 10 days, it's like
but the NFL's 10. But I was saying it from a normal standpoint.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
But that's, you know, that's what we know about incubation periods. So this could potentially have been somebody who was infected Tuesday morning traveling with somebody who was already infected.
Right.
That's of course a possibility, but guys, we're also, you guys know this. We're talking about a league that is not bubbled. This could have been somebody getting it from somewhere else that has nothing to do with the NFL.
Could be completely unrelated.
Football. Could be completely unrelated.
That's why that Tommy Curran tweet is sort of interesting. And he sort of, or I don't know. I feel like Tommy Curran's not writing that tweet suggesting it could be linked if he doesn't hear a few things. I don't know. That's just me. That's what I think. You know him better than us, Phil. You work hand in hand with him.
He's a smart guy. Talks to a lot of people. So, you know, we'll try to get this pinned down in terms of.
Were they on the Providence
Not only where
plane?
They think they got it, yeah. but where, like, what's the deal with the game? What's the, I mean, that's what people care about. And if this is from Tuesday or, last week, if this is another infection from that trip to Kansas City, does the league look at it and say, we're okay for the game?
You have something to?
Because if we continue to get negatives and we're double digits removed from that potential infection, then we should be okay.
I think potentially it could be related to the O-line. Don't know that.
Okay. But, related to.
Well, there's O-line, man.
Well, I mean, I was going to say, how's it related to and not. So it could be on the offensive line is what you're saying.
Not confirming it, but most likely.
Okay.
Yeah.
We're just guessing now, but I believe there was an offensive lineman who was projected to be a non-participant, at least one, maybe two, in practice when they were doing those hypothetical injury reports the other day.
Oh.
Again, don't know if that would be related, but that happened the other day.
Okay.
So we're all just trying to figure out what's going on here, and I think what people care about
right now,
Broncos, as you mentioned, care about if they're going to be able to actually play a game here or not.
Oh man, I'd love to get a live look at their locker room right now and coaches.
Think week 18 is a good idea, guys? Think week 18 is going to happen at some point here?
I'd take them outside.
Why have they not done that yet?
I'd take them outside and just do Oklahoma drill for 4 hours.
You know, I think they're just putting it off as far as they can. I heard Goodell the other day. And he said exactly what I think he should have said, which is we are going to be flexible if necessary. So as much as they are getting pressure to add it right now, I think it's coming. I think it's inevitable. And I think ultimately they know they're going to get there. But they're trying to delay the inevitable. You know, they're trying to avoid it for the time being. But
I get that, but it is inevitable. And you just had to move one game. You had six additional teams beyond the Patriots and the Broncos have their schedules impacted by that one switch.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying, Phil. I think what they're trying to do is they're trying to do this so that they don't have to add, weeks 18, 19, 20, and 21. Does that make sense?
It does, but it's just, I don't know why in 2020 you aren't okay with the idea of that. I mean, what's the bottom line? What's the concern? The concern would be you got to then push the Super Bowl back and then the offseason's messed up. So then 2021 might get messed up. I get it, I guess. But you're trying to play football in a pandemic.
Yeah. No, listen, I'm with you. I've said that maybe they should consider the possibility of having to take multiple weeks off as they get further into the year or push back the Super Bowl into, March. It doesn't matter. Just, we'd all rather see the season played to completion. They've got to be really flexible. But I can understand their desire to try and get it done still in the shortest amount of time. I can understand it. I would not sacrifice health or safety for it, but we'll see where they're going to draw that line and whether or not this game this weekend is played between the Patriots and the Broncos. Phil Perry has been brought to you by Plymouth Rock Assurance as proud sponsor of the New England Patriots. Plymouth Rock Assurance, thanks, Tom. Tom Leahy, the insurance goat.
The goat.
Learn more at PlymouthRock.com/thanks, Tom. Our thanks to Phil Perry. Phil, we'll talk to you next week.
See you. All right, thank you, guys. Back to work.
All right, buddy.
RJ Bell is on the way right after headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.